kind of going to be a starting off point on our question series. And this question is, in the days of Noah, when the earth was destroyed, eight people were left. Where did the different races of people come from? Okay. So that's a good question, don't you think? And that's a question that you get often. Now, the answer I'm going to be given is going to be somewhat different. I've covered this before, I think, in the past, but it'll be somewhat different this time around than it was before. What I'm going to ask you to do is weigh what I say, take what I say tonight, weigh it, and then see whether it's so. If it ain't so, then what should you not do? Don't believe it. But you need to weigh the evidence that I'm going to give you this evening. So I'm going to say some things that's going to be a little bit different that I want you to look up and see whether these things are right. Okay, now I want to begin my first point this evening is, I think there's only one race. I think there's only one race. I don't believe there's different races of people. There's different colors of people. But there's only one race of people, and that's the human race. You write that down in your mind. There's only one race of people, and that's the human race. You could divide people up by color of their skin, as is what people do, but you could just as easily divide people up under the color of their hair. So anyway, the melanin in your body is what makes your hair black or brown or blonde, your eye color, and what else? Your skin color. We all have different amounts of melanin in our skin. But we all came from one blood. One blood. In the book of Acts chapter 17, making sure I got my keys. If the lights go out, I got a little light on here, I can still preach. Huh? Okay, Mama. Acts chapter 17, let's notice what it says. Acts chapter 17, it says, "And he hath made of one blood," everybody say one blood, "one blood, all nations of men." All the nations come from one common ancestor, do they not? Well, if you believe that God created the heaven and the earth, which you should, if you're saved, you should believe. If you're unsaved, you should believe that. The first man's name was Adam, and the first woman's name was Eve, wasn't it? So we come from one blood. Then when you come down to Noah, of course, the world was destroyed in Noah's day, and he had sons Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And then we come from one blood. We all have a common ancestor is what I'm trying to say. That common ancestor was Adam. And then the next one after that was who? Noah and his sons. We do have a common ancestor, and it's not an ape. And it's not an ape. We do have a common ancestor, though, and that common ancestor is Adam. And then when you come down to Noah, then we come from one of the lines off one of his sons. But it's of one blood, all nations of men that dwell. Everybody see it? Of one blood, all nations of men that are upon the face of the earth. So really, there is only one race, and it's the human race. Yes, there's different colors of skin, different colors of eyes, different shapes of eyes. But we come from one blood. One blood. One race, the human race. If everybody believed that, we'd all be better off, wouldn't we? Okay, is everybody with me so far? Now, the evidence that we are one, we come from one blood, and we're basically genetically, hear me now, we're basically genetically, regardless of the color of our skin, we're basically genetically all the same on the inside. And you know the greatest evidence of that? These arguments I'm giving is really, of course, basic arguments, but the law of reproduction in Genesis 1 is kind produces kind. Everybody with me? Now let me use an illustration. Let's talk about dogs. Dog's a dog, isn't it? Now there's different shapes of dogs. There's different colors of dogs. There's different sizes of dogs. But they're all dogs. And I hate to use that as an illustration, but that's the truth, isn't it? The same thing is true of men. There's different shapes of men. There's different colors of men. But they're all still men. And you see, a dog can reproduce with another dog. There's a variety in the kinds, but they're going to bear a dog. They're not going to bear a cat, are they? If your dog bears a cat, you let me know about it, and I'll retract that statement. But the law of reproduction is can produces what? Do y'all agree with that? So if you have reproduction within its kind, that means it's the same kind. I'm setting you up. If you have reproduction in the same kind, I mean, in order to have reproduction, kind produces kind. So if you have reproduction, you have the same kind. Now, you can take a white man, and they can reproduce with an Oriental girl, or vice versa. Are they two different races? No, they're the same kind. They are the same kind. You could take a black man and he can reproduce with a white girl. But it's the same kind. The reproduction is an indication that they are the same what again? Same kind. See? If it wasn't the same kind, hear me, couldn't reproduce. Oh, God's people said. Now, a lot of folks don't like it. But the fact of the matter is, what I just told you is exactly what the Bible says. Of one blood, He made every kindred, tribe, nation, and people. There's one race, and that race is the human race. Different colors of skin is just like different colors of eyes or different colors of hair. Okay? Now, I'm not a geneticist. I'm not into genetics. Can't even say genetics. Geneticist. I'm not one of them. But here's what, I want you to listen to what I'm about to read. Listen to this real tight. It says, The truth, though, is that these so-called racial characteristics are only minor variations among people groups. If one were to take two people anywhere in the world, scientists have found that the basic genetic difference between these two people is typically to be around 0.2%. I mean, basically, genetically, regardless of color, on the inside, there's basically no difference. Okay? Zero. Now, let me go ahead and read on. These so-called racial characteristics that people think are major differences, skin color, eye shape, etc., account for only about 0.012% of human biological variation. Dr. Harold Freeman, Chief Executive President and Director of Surgery at North General Hospital in Manhattan, says if you ask what percentage of your genes is reflected in your external appearance, the basis by which we talk about race, the answer seems to be 0.01%. That means genetically, we are basically the same. Basically no difference at all. It's just color. It's just more melanin in some people than in other people. But He made us from one blood. And that's why kind produces what? Kind. That's what you see. Now I know a lot of people don't like it. But what I'm telling you is the truth. All this racism, so-called, is from all groups. Not just white people. Not just black people. All groups have problems with racism. And it's really just a thing of color. If everybody knew what we was preaching on tonight, it would make a big difference, don't you think? Basically the same. I like this next difference. In other words, the so-called racial differences are absolutely trivial. Overall, there is more variation within any group than there is between one group. Now listen to this. If a white person is looking for a tissue match for an organ transplant, for instance, the best match may come from a black man and vice versa. ABC News claims what the facts show is that there are differences among us, but they stem from culture and not race. Well, the Bible said these things in Genesis 1. Kind will produce kind. Where you have reproduction, you have the same kind. So, there really is only one race. Okay? Now, one of the arguments is a Jew was to marry a Jew. A Jew was to marry a Jew. Well, the reason why that was is because the gods of the nations were false gods. That was more of a saved and lost issue, not a race issue. It was more of a saved and a lost issue. And let me show you that. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7. We know of at least two Gentile women that's in the Christ line in Matthew chapter 1. We know of at least two Gentile women that are in the Christ line. Ruth, she was of Moab. She married with a Jewish man. Rahab, she was a Canaanite. They're in the Christ line. Read Matthew chapter 1. They're in the Christ line. But a Jew was to marry a Jew, and the main reason for that was, is because the gods of the nations, they served idols. And he knew if they intermarried with the nations, especially the Canaanite nations, that they would adopt their gods. And they would begin to serve their God. So it was more of a saved and unsaved issue. And more so than, it wasn't because of the blood or anything. It was because they served a different God. Now they disobeyed the Lord in that, didn't they? You remember one prominent king that disobeyed the Lord in that? Solomon. The Bible says he loved many strange women. That doesn't mean it's goofy. That means they were strangers. They weren't Jews. They came from another nation. See what I mean? And the reason why they weren't to marry with them is because they worshipped idols. They worshipped false gods. And we're going to look at all that. Are you ready? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. I'm going to read several verses here, so you play along with me here. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land where you go and possess it, many nations, and has cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and all the otherites. I'm not going to read all that. Seven nations, greater and mightier than yourself. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. And thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Okay? Neither shalt thou make, watch this now, verse 3, neither shalt thou make what? Don't make marriages with them. Don't marry with them. Everybody see that in verse 3? Neither make marriages with them, thy daughter thou shalt not give to his son, nor his daughter shalt thou give to thy son. For they will turn away your son from following me. Everybody see it? They will turn away your son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. So the reason for that they weren't to intermarry with the other nations was because they would adopt their gods. They would if you look at the history of Israel, that's exactly what they did. They adopted their gods, and it came from intermarriage. And they began to serve the gods of the Canaanites, and then God would bring judgment on them for doing that. They had problems, but that was a saved and a lost issue. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 11. Didn't have anything to do with the color of their skin. It had a whole lot to do with the God that they served. That was the difference. Here's a verse I quoted a little while ago, verse Kings 11:1. But King Solomon loved many strange women. Remember I told you about that? As strangers, the idea of strange is strangers, foreign women, not Jews. He was to marry a Jew. And actually, to be honest with you, I want you to hear this. He was to marry one Jewish woman. He multiplied wives was another error that he made. He married had hundreds of wives. That was wrong too. He made several mistakes, but that was another mistake that he made. So he not only did he multiply wives, which was a sin. You go back to creation for the original intent of marriage. I was waiting on an amen there. You go back to creation for the original intent of marriage. one man, one woman for one lifetime. That's the original intent. It wasn't two men. See what I mean? One man for one woman. Not for a week, or till he got tired of her. It was one man, one woman, one lifetime. When they asked the master about divorce, you know where the master went to? Does anybody remember? He took them back to creation. They had all these different laws that they had set up. But then what did Jesus say? He said, from the beginning, it was not so. He went all the way back to creation. And that's how it's to be. That's another subject. But you always go back to the original creation when you want to know anything about marriage. That was the original intent. Okay? So when they talk about homosexual marriage, you go back to creation. You can go everywhere else and disprove it too. But the original intent was one man, one woman, one lifetime. Verse 2. Of the nations, it says he loved many strange women together with the daughter of the Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonites, Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said, ye shall not go into them, neither shall ye come into you. For surely they will turn away your heart after other gods, and Solomon clave unto these in love. He had 700 wives. What'd you say, Pop? 700 wives. No, he didn't commit suicide, Pop. He had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his what? Turned away his heart. Everybody see it? It came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart to other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord, his God, as was the heart of David, his father. So these women led him into what? Sin. Their influence led him into sin. So that was, the Jew was to marry a Jew. It really wasn't because of the color of the skin. It was because of the nature of the God that they were serving. They serve, it would be equivalent to someone saved marrying someone that's unsaved. And that's the way it's to be today, is it not? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says that we are to marry in the Lord. We are to marry in the Lord. It's always a mistake to disregard that rule too. Always a mistake to do that. And I regard it as a sin to do that. I'm sorry, God's Word regards it as a sin to do that. You need to... I mean, you got to remember, when you're choosing your husband, you're choosing the father of your children. Don't you want the father of your children to instruct your children in the things of the Lord? When you're choosing your wife, you're choosing the mother of your children. And you want, you know, after you get married and you have children, don't you want a mother that's going to encourage them to go to church and want to instruct them in the things of God? People make horrible choices not based on the Scriptures whatsoever. And you pay dividends for that. You pay dividends for that too. So, it's more of a saved and lost issue with regard to that. Under the new covenant, we're all spiritual Jews. Under the new covenant, we're all spiritual Jews anyhow. If you're born again, you're a Jew. Not physically, but spiritually. Turn to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. I want to give you these with a little bit of detail with regard to this part of it. Okay, now let me establish what we've covered so far. Only one race. What's that race called? Human race. Genetically, even scientifically, genetically, it shows there's basically no difference. 0.2 difference genetically. We don't even need a scientist to tell us that because the Bible says kind will produce kind. So if you have reproduction, you have the same what again? Same kind. You can have varieties of the kind like in any other species. You can have varieties in the kind, but it's still the same kind. Now, many people don't like that, but they're just telling you it's the truth. If it wasn't the same kind, it couldn't reproduce. All right? Now, one race, the human race. And the reason why a Jew was to marry a Jew in the Old Testament was why again? It was because of their God. It was a saved and lost issue. Okay. Now, under the new covenant, we're all one in Christ as far as we're spiritual Jews. Remember me saying that? Notice Romans chapter 2, what it says, verse 28. I want you to watch this. I preached this on the radio. I thought, sure, I'd get a letter from it, but nobody sent me any letters. That might be because nobody's listening. Romans chapter 2. Notice what it says in verse 28. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly. But he is a Jew. Oh, I'm sorry. Neither is that circumcision which is outward. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. Everybody see it? He is a Jew which is one inwardly. And the circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. Regardless of physical birth, I want you to hear me now. Regardless of your physical birth, when you're born again, you're a spiritual Jew. And we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're one in Christ. Isn't that awesome? Part of the same nation. Part of the same spiritual nation. Galatians chapter 3. Now, I'm going to have to give you a lot of verses for you to look up, and I pray that you look them up and see. Because we're getting, well, close to done. Galatians chapter 3. It says in verse 28, it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond or free. There's neither male or female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, what's it say? You're Abraham's seed. Spiritual seed. You're a spiritual Jew. So if we had here tonight a saved Filipino, we used to have a little Filipino girl saved here. Had a saved Filipino, have a saved Russian, have a saved Ethiopian, have a saved white person and a saved black person. We're all spiritual Jews. We're all one in Christ. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Everybody got it? See? So, genetically, again, even speaking physically, genetically, even though we come from, have different colors, we're still genetically inside, basically, the same. Okay? And spiritually, we're all Jews. Jesus said many will come from the east and the west and the north and the south. That's the whole world. Many shall come from the east and the west and the north and the south and sit down in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then we'll have the white people over there and the black people over there and then they all be. We're one in Christ. Okay. Do you know what I mean? We all got there the same way though, and that's through the blood. And we're all spiritual what again? Spiritual Jews. Spiritual Jews. I like that. I think that's a wonderful thing to see. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus did a great thing. He made a statement in John 3 that blowed Nicodemus' mind. You remember what that statement in John 3 that blowed Nicodemus' mind was? God so loved the, not just Jews, by physical birth. World is all people. See, world. World. It actually means Gentile as well as Jew is the meaning of it, I should say. Gentile as well as Jew. That would blow Nicodemus away. Jesus, basically, when he was here, stayed with regard to the Jews. He went first. Remember when he sent the disciples out first? He sent them first to the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel, remember? But before he went to heaven, what did he do? Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. All nations. Didn't say races, all nations. And after they trust Christ, then baptize them and then teach them. All God's people see it. Okay. Now, the different colors, let's go back to Genesis chapter 11. We'll talk a little bit about the different colors. I didn't explain the different colors is because of melanin in your body. Some have more, some have less. But genetically, we're still basically all the same. It says in Genesis 11, at one time everybody spoke the same language. And then at the Tower of Babel is when the Lord caused people to speak different languages. And that's what divided, eventually that's what divided people up. And that's where the nations came from this division. The Lord told them to replenish the earth, and they were to scatter. But they built this big tower, and then they disobeyed the Lord. You know, this is after the flood. And here's what happened. Are you with me? Genesis 11. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. It came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to and let us build up build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men had built. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have one language, and they begin to do so. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Let us go down and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. And they left off to build the city. Therefore the name of it was called Babel, because of the Lord did confound their languages of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. And then in verse 10, but also if you have a reproduction in a big pool, so to speak, a big group of people. But if you separate those people and you put them over here in a group and a group over here, and they have a group over here, and they reproduce just amongst themselves, they're going to develop distinct traits about themselves that is different from this group. And that's where the different faces, different eyes, different colors that develop that way. Let me read a little something to you here that I think is good. See, in all, really, just for a simple answer, the different skin colors, eye shapes, came as a result of Babel. When he separated them according to their languages, they all went to certain areas and settled there. They reproduced amongst those that spoke their same language. Therefore, they would develop certain traits that was peculiar just to them. Their environment that they was in also affected it over time. So that's where the different nations, the different colors, the different eyes, shapes came from. But the genes, the genetic structure on the inside is still basically the same. You're just talking about the color of the skin when you're talking about a race. There's one race. It's the human race. Well, if everybody believed what I was saying tonight, that'd end a lot of racism, wouldn't it? I mean, seriously, wouldn't it? Because of the new language and the geographical barriers, the groups no longer freely mixed with other groups because they were distinct. Does everybody got it? They moved with the people who spoke their own language. Let me read it again. Because of the new language and the geographic barriers, the groups no longer freely mixed with other groups. And the result was a splitting of the gene pool. Different cultures formed with certain features becoming predominant within each group. The characteristics of each became more and more prominent as new generations of children were born. If we were to travel back in the time of Babel and mix up the people into completely different family groups, then the people groups with completely different characteristics might have resulted. For instance, we might find a fair-skinned group with tight, curly, dark hair and has blue almond-shaped eyes, or a group with very dark skin, blue eyes, with straight brown hair. Some of these, skin color, eye shape, and so on, became general characteristics of each particular group. All he's saying is basically what I told you. When you take a group and you separate them by languages in a distinct area, and they reproduce amongst themselves, they will develop certain traits that are peculiar just to that group. And you put them in different geographical locations, they will develop certain traits that are particular to that group. That's what you have. They're not a different race. They're just a different color. I read this morning. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number. Now watch this in verse 9. Of all, see, of all what? Of all what again? This is heaven. This is the sea of glass right before the throne. And on that sea of glass is a multitude which no man can number, and they come from all nations, kindreds, people, and tongues. Didn't say races. The book of Amos, he's talking to Israel, and he said, you have I known of all the families of the earth. You have I known of all the families of the earth. He just referred to all the people's families. Peoples. Peoples. Not races. One race, and that's the human race. All God's people say? Okay. Now, does that mean people from different skin color can come to this church? Well, I'm asking. They're welcome here, ain't they? They can become members here too. They can become members here. Just like anybody else can. It's trust of Christ. Trust of Christ. See? Now, one more thing. I'm about done. Homosexuality, a homosexual is not a race. It's a sin. They've made it a race, but it's not a race. It's a sin. When I preach against homosexuality, I'm called a racist. That's the danger of this thing. This thing's done scared me to death. If you want to know where the persecution against the Lord's church is going to start, that's going to be the issue that starts it. A marriage, you go back to Genesis, is a man and a woman. One man, one woman, one lifetime. Homosexuality is not a marriage. I never thought that I'd ever see that questioned in this land. I never thought I'd see, now I'm going to use the term churches. Not every church that says there's a church is a church. Not everybody says they're a Christian is a Christian either. And not everybody says there's a church is a church. There's many churches that ordain homosexual pastors. I never thought I'd ever see that day that they would even be questioned. And that's what you see. It's not a race. It's a sin. Turn to 1 Corinthians 6. Stay with me now. I'm almost done. Folks, I preach against this sin, and stay with me now. I tell you, this question thing's going to get hairy here on Sunday evenings. We had all kinds of good questions. I like this, don't you? Makes it interesting. We're going to take it. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom? And then it gives you a description of the unrighteous. Be not deceived, fornicators. You know what a fornicator is, right? Sex outside the bonds of marriage. Say, in case you didn't know. You need to teach your boys that, especially. I taught boys one year and put fornication on the board. Not none of them in the class knew what it was. After I explained to them, they knew what it was. You don't want them to learn about these things off that goofy television set. You leave them alone. You let the world teach them about sex. They'll learn about it all right, but they'll learn about it the wrong way. We're too embarrassed to do that. You better get unembarrassed. Tell them what these words mean and tell them what the consequences of some of these sins are. We have 1 million teen pregnancies in this land every year. And about 400,000 of those get an abortion. About 400,000 of them get an abortion to get rid of their problem. They use it as birth control, so to speak. It ain't birth control. It's murder. I'm going to get plumb out here and get where I don't need to be. But I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 6. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers. You see the word effeminate? You look it up in the Young's Concordance. It means to lie with a male. It's talking about the homosexual. Abusers of themselves with mankind. Abusers, effeminate, and abusers of themselves. Actually, the word abusers of themselves with mankind is the one that says lying with a male. The Young's Concordance has a sodomite beside of it. Nor a thief or a covetous or a drunkard. You say, Jeff, what are you trying to prove? It's in this list of sins. Do you know why it's in this list of sins, Larry? It's a sin. Now, they may hate me. People may hate me over this, but I'm going to tell you something. You don't do anybody any good by telling them that they're okay if they're living in sin. Really. And I care about their soul. If you care about the soul, you give them a warning. It's a sin, not a race. Never thought I'd ever see that question. Never thought I'd see marriage question. Did you? Never thought I'd ever see it. Turn to Romans 1 and we'll close. I'm going to tell you something, folks, and this is the truth. If you're looking for a hope in a politician, you're looking at the wrong place. The way you change a nation is God's people changes a nation. The book of Chronicles said, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and repent of their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. Romans chapter 1. It says in verse 24, God gave them up. You see where it says God gave them up? To uncleanliness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. They worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. For this cause, God gave them up. There again, here is the term, God gave them up. God gave them up into vile affections. You see the term vile affection? Now notice what it calls a vile affection. For even their women did change the natural use of their body into that which is against nature. Homosexuality is against nature. Homosexuality is a vile affection. Verse 27, likewise the men leaving the natural use of their woman burned in their lust one towards another, men with men working that which is unseemly. It's a sin, not a race. I'll stand on those scriptures right there. It's not a race, it's a sin. God's people need to stand for that. You need to preach the gospel to them. They need to be saved. So in this message, the question was about where the races come from. They came as a result of Genesis 11, the separation of the languages is the easy answer to that. They were separated, their languages, they separated by their language into different areas. Then they developed certain traits from producing amongst themselves and from their environment. Over time would have counted for different traits that they would have be different from the other group. That's what happened. But they come from the same blood. And they have a common ancestor. And kind produces kind. So we're all one race. Does that answer? I hope that answers your question for you. Let's all stand. That's enough in one sitting, isn't it? Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention this evening. I'll announce, Lord willing, Wednesday night what I'll be covering next Sunday.